April 22, 1927, how creation is the ornaments of the divine being. Incapacity of comprehending it. Great delight in the creation of man. Continuing in my usual state, my sweet Jesus made himself seen as a child, all afflicted. And his sadness was such that it seemed as if he felt himself dying. I squeezed him to my heart, I kissed him several times, who knows what I would have done to cheer him? And Jesus, sighing, told me, "My daughter, look at how beautiful is the whole creation, what charm of light, what enchantment of variety and of rare beauty. Yet, these are nothing but ornaments of our divine being. If our ornaments are such, our being surpasses our very ornaments in an incomprehensible way, and the creature is incapable of comprehending the whole incomprehensibility of our being. Just as the eye is incapable of enclosing within itself the whole vastness of the light of the sun, it sees it, it fills itself with light, as much as it can contain of it. But as for enclosing the whole of it, or measuring the length and breadth of the extension of the light, this is impossible for it, such as our divine being, for the human capacity. It is our ornaments that man always sees and touches with his own hand. He sees the sun, he touches its light, that makes him feel its heat. He sees the immensity of the waters of the sea. He sees the azure vault of the heavens with many stars. But as for knowing what the light is made of, how much light it contains, how much water the sea contains, how many stars there are in that azure vault, and what it is made of, he will not be able to say anything about it. He sees and enjoys all this, but he is the first little ignorant one in arithmetic, weight and measure. If it is so with our ornaments, much more so with our divine being. However, you must know that all creation, and each created thing, gives lessons to man. They narrate our divine qualities, and each one of them gives lessons in the quality it contains. The sun gives lessons in light, and teaches that in order to be light, one must be pure, stripped of every matter. Light always contains heat, united with it one cannot separate the light from the heat. So, if you want to be light, you must love your Creator alone, and this will bring you, like sun, the fecundity of good. The heavens give you lessons about my celestial fatherland. They call you continuously to your Creator. They give you lessons in detachment from what is earth, in the height of sanctity that you must reach, and how you must adorn yourself with all the divine virtues, more than stars. So, each thing gives lessons, and calls man to reflect himself in them, in order to copy them and imitate them. I did not put out my ornaments only for them to be seen, but so that, by imitating them, the creature might adorn herself with them. Yet, who pays attention to listen to so many lessons? Almost no one. And all afflicted, he kept silent. Then, I followed the Supreme Will in the act in which the Divine Being was about to create man, so that I too, together with my first father Adam, might love him with the same love with which he loved him in the first instant of his creation. I wanted to receive that same divine breath, that outpouring of love, in order to give it back to my Creator. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, all delighted, told me, "My daughter, for one who lives in my will, there is not one act of ours at which she cannot be present, nor any act that we issued from ourselves that she cannot receive. Here is my breath to you, and the outpouring of our love." How great was our delight in this first act of the creation of man! We had created heaven and earth, but we felt nothing new within ourselves. But in creating man it was very different. It was a will that was being created, and this will was free, and in it we enclosed our will, as though putting it in a bank in order to collect the interest of our love, of the glory and of the adoration that befitted us. Oh! How love overflowed within us! How it trembled with joy in pouring into this free will to hear it say, "I love you." And when man, filled with our own, released from his breast the first word, "I love you," immense was our delight, because it was as if he were giving us the interest for all the goods we had placed in him. This free will, created by us, was the depository of the capital of a divine will, and we would content ourselves with a small interest, without ever demanding the capital back. Therefore, great was the sorrow for the fall of man, because he rejected our capital, so as not to give us our small interest. His bank remained empty, and his enemy, banding with him, filled him with passions and miseries. Poor one, he went broke. Now, my daughter, since the act of the creation of man was a solemn act, and of great delight for us, we call you and want you in this act, in order to repeat the solemnity of it, placing in your will the great capital of ours. And as we do this, our love overflows and trembles with joy, with great delight, because we see our purpose realized. Surely you will not deny the small interest to us. You will not reject our capital, will you? Even more, every day we will do the accounts. I will call you to be present at that first act when we created this free, will you, to give me the interest, and I, to see if I can add some more of my capital. My mind was wandering in the divine fiat, and I thought to myself, oh, how I would like to receive that first act of creation, that divine outpouring of intense love, that he poured upon the first creature when he created him. I would like to receive that omnipotent breath, to be able to return to my Creator all the love and the glory that he had established to receive from the creature. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, clasping me to himself, told me, my daughter, this is precisely my purpose for coming to you so often. So much so, that it may appear strange to some, and almost outside of my usual ways, since almost with no one have I done this, of going so often. All this is to reorder my prime act of the way I created the creature. And this is why I return to you, staying like the most loving father with his daughter. How many times have I not breathed into you, to the point that you could not contain my omnipotent breath? I have poured in you my contained love, to the point of filling you up to the brim of your soul. All this was nothing other than the renewal of the solemn act of creation. I wanted to feel that great delight of when I created man, and therefore I come to you not only to renew it, but to reorder the order, the harmony, the love, between creator and creature, in the way he was created. In the beginning of the creation of man there was no distance between me and him, everything was familiarity. As soon as he would call me, I would be with him. I loved him as my son and, as my son, I felt so drawn to him that I could not do without going and being with him very often. With you I am renewing the beginning of creation. Therefore, be attentive in receiving such a great good.